إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, we look at another one of the qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the intention of trying to emulate and trying to live by these qualities. And the benefit of living by these qualities is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say to them, those who claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say to them, emulate me, make my ittiba, emulate me, imitate me, and then if you do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. And when Allah loves you, what happens? يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive your sins, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. And that's the reason why we study the seerah, to bring these qualities into our lives. The emulation or ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not restricted to any one aspect of his life, but it expands and it covers every aspect of his life. His attitudes, his behaviors, his the way he used to think, the way he used to walk and talk, how he looked, what he ate, what he did not eat, how he lived, his mu'amilat, the mu'ashara that he created, his akhlaq, all of these things are things which we need to emulate. Just yesterday I heard a beautiful hadith where Rasulullah ﷺ said that the beautification of this deen, the beauty of this deen is in two things. One is akhlaq and the other one is sakhawat, which is generosity. Akhlaq and sakhawat. Now, the best of the akhlaq is the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Najm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned this and he called it khuluqun azim. Allah said, you are on the best of khuluq, the best of akhlaq. So with that intention, we are trying to see what we can learn from the seerah. And today I want to talk about the thing that comes out of sabr, which we said yesterday, which is ridha bil qada. Now, ridha bil qada, the meaning of it is to be pleased with the qadar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are three possible situations that one will find or one can find oneself in. Whenever you are faced with some kind of adversity, some loss, some failure and so on, then one of three possibilities. One is you complain and you say, why did this happen to me? People make all kinds of statements. I don't want to repeat the words of jahiliyat that people use, but you know what I'm saying. So anytime there is a loss, anytime there is something, people complain, they groan, they moan, they blame Allah, and so on and so forth. So that is, obviously, this is not something that a Muslim does. And all of these kinds of things are really an indication of the weakness of Iman or the lack of Iman. May Allah protect us from both. The second possibility, which is not evil, which is not bad, but which is also still not where we are talking about, is the situation of accepting the qadar of Allah. So this happened, I have accepted it. The third quality, which is the quality of the Anbiya alayhimus salam, which is the quality of the Salafus Salihin, which is the quality of the Awliya Ikram, is the quality of ridha bil qadar, actually being pleased with the qadar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is a very high level of Iman, which we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to reach that. But like the hadith on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to favor somebody, then he afflicts him with trials, with difficulties. And wallahi, I understood this hadith today. I've heard this hadith many times. And I used to think, and I always make dua. I said, please, Allah, please, be pleased with me without the trials. You don't need to give me the trials. But I used to think, why the trials? What has that got to do with it? If Allah wants to do good to somebody, Allah afflicts that person with trials, with difficulties, with pain, suffering, loss, whatever the thing might be. So I said, why is this? What is the issue of trials? And the issue of trials is this, that inshallah, this is the meaning, which is that when a person is afflicted with difficulty, And when that person responds to that with rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being pleased with that difficulty, it's a very difficult thing. It's like a paradoxical thing. Okay, I accept it, that's fine. But how can I be pleased with something? What is good about this? If you look at something, you say, what is good about this thing? How can I be pleased with it? Now, this is like too much. This is like putting too much of how. But this is the quality of the Anbiya. This specifically is the quality of people who are close to Allah. And that is why Ridha bil Khada is what gets you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal. Because when a person is afflicted with pain, physical pain, psychological pain, mental pain, all kinds of pain, when a person is afflicted with that, and at that time the person is pleased with that and says, Alhamdulillah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal, all praise and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every situation. So if a person says Alhamdulillah truly and sincerely from his heart, then the doors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bounties and treasures open for that person. Then there is no dua the person can ask which Allah will not give. But that position of closeness comes through the difficulty. It doesn't come with, illa mashallah, Allah wants to give, we can give. But I'm saying that what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to us, it comes through the difficulty. Now take the seerah itself, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to Taif. Think about that. Here is an effort. Now, how do we grade effort? We grade effort, number one, in terms of how much time and energy and resource and, all that it took. So you say, I worked very hard. Fair enough, no doubt about that. Second way you grade an effort is by the sincerity. I had ikhlas, I wanted to please only Allah. So this is the grading of I was not doing it for, some Facebook hits or something. I was doing it only to please Allah. Now take this grading and put it on the journey to Taif of Rasulullah ﷺ. It's a journey from Makkah to Taif. He and Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu, just two people walking. Going all the way to Taif, it's no picnic, it's a difficult task. And also going under threat. He is in Makkah, he is under threat. In Taif, he does not know whether they will be a welcome, will not be a welcome. So the journey has got a lot of effort in it and so on. And who can question the sincerity of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What is the result of that journey? The result of that journey is humiliation, the result of that journey is rejection, the result of the journey is not just this humiliation, rejection, which is psychological pain of an intense level, but also physical suffering. He was assaulted, he was injured, he bled, Zayd bin Haritha also, radiallahu anhu, he also was injured and so on. So here is the result, the apparent result on the face of it of this journey, of this effort, which had the physical effort in it, which had psychological effort in it, and which had also sincerity. And think about this. Sometimes we say, I made so much dua. Don't you think that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua when he went to Taif? He went without making dua. And this is, what is my dua? What is your dua? What is the dua of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Why didn't Allah help me? Na'udhu billah, sometimes we say things like that. Why didn't Allah help Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his qadr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what he is doing. He is not doing it accidentally. He is not doing it just like that for the heck of it. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his maqsad. So we know what happened. And then what happened? This is the lesson, which is ridha bil khada. What is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's reaction to all this? He makes this dua, this beautiful dua. And at the end of that, he said, hatta tarda. He said, I will work until you are pleased. Just think about this. He did not even say, I will work until my mission succeeds. Now, he would have said that, no? You made me the Nabi, so I will work until I am successful. He's not talking about that. Whether my mission as the Nabi succeeds or fails is not my criterion. My criterion is Allah pleased or not? So, criterion is not to say that my message must go to 10,000 people, 15,000 people, 500,000 people, 50 million people. No. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased with me or not? Now the beauty of this kind of a maqsad is that you will never run out of a purpose in your life. Otherwise, what happens to a lot of people is, especially if they are completely and totally committed behind something, if that thing doesn't happen, then you go into depression. Right? You go into depression. You have lost your purpose in life. You become completely haywire. My whole life was behind this thing. Now this thing is not going to happen. So what? But when your maqsad is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is forever. That is till the last breath we are trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, hatta tarda, until you are pleased, Ya Rab. And that's why another qawl of Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, which again I heard many, many years ago as a child, and that remained with me, is where he said, Araftu Rabbi bi fasqil azaim. He said, I have recognized my Rabb by the failure of my intentions, by the failure of my aspirations, by the failure of my dreams. Now think about it. These are the statements of people who lived that. This is not somebody sitting there and pontificating and you know, generating quotes. No. These are people who lived with that, who lived through this. And that is why the power of those words, Araftu Rabbi bi fasqil azaim. He said, I have recognized my Rabb. Araftu, I recognized my Rabb through the breaking of my dreams, through the failure of my aspirations. Now think about that. What kind of dream and aspiration would somebody like Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib have? Was he thinking of, you know, I wanted to build this great building. I wanted to make $1 million. No. Their aspirations are all for the deen. The aspirations are all for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. Even in that there can be failure. This is the thing we have to understand. It is not necessary that just because you are doing something for Islam, just because you are doing something with great sincerity, that it will succeed in the way that you want it to succeed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah mentioned very clearly in the Quran, Allah said Allah does not waste the effort of any man or woman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said Allah will not waste the effort. So which means that even though on the face of it, take Taif for example, on the face of it, here is a failure. But is it a failure? It's not a failure. How can there be a failure when it's the work of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? So the issue is that it may not succeed in the way you want it to succeed, but success and failure is in the hand of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will make it succeed in His own way. You may not even know, because the results of this may come. For example, the results of, if you take Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life, his message did not go outside Jaziratul Arab in his lifetime. So even at the end of his life, Islam spread within the Arabian Peninsula. That's it. So all of the later on the futuhat of Islam, all into Iraq and Iran and Egypt and halfway into Europe and all of North Africa and then in Asia into all the way up to India and so on. All of this happened in some cases even centuries after. I mean 300 years, 400 years after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away. But it happened, and it happened because of the effort that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started. So just because you don't see the result of it, one must not lose heart, one must not get depressed, one must not feel disappointed, one must not feel, I did all this thing, nothing happened. No, you don't know nothing happened. Things are happening, things are moving, you don't know that, and this is the extent of our knowledge. And this is where Ridha bil Qada comes. It says, Alhamdulillah, my Rabb is pleased with me, I hope, and this is the reason I am trying to please my Rabb. Jalla Jalalu. We continue the effort. We continue with our ikhlas, we don't lose heart, we don't get disappointed and so on and so forth. Because this is where we recognize the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, there is a chance of becoming arrogant to say, I did all of this and this is what the result of my effort, which is shirk, because now you brought yourself into the picture. We say, no, I made the effort, but success and failure is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And success is not necessarily that my effort must happen the way I want it to happen. Failure is not necessarily that my effort did not happen the way I wanted it to happen. Success and failure, Allah will decide on the day of judgment when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the benefit of our efforts. We ask Allah to enable us to continue to make effort for His deen with ikhlas till our last breath. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept those efforts, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show the positive effect of this in His own good time, in His own way, as and when He wishes, and to give us the benefit and value of that long after we are gone. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.